Appreciate so much your music. Thank you for the beautiful offertory, Heidi. Faithful men is what we need to be, just faithful. And we can be faithful. By God's grace, God's help, we can always be faithful. There are many things we cannot be and will never be, but may it never be that we are not found faithful. I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 as the children are dismissed to Children's Church. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 to begin with. Hebrews chapter 11, and beginning at verse 1, we read, speaking of faithful, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Noah prepared an ark. Would you stand and join me in prayer together as we begin? If you're able to stand, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you now for your word. Thank you we can preach the word. Thank you we can admonish one another through the word. Thank you for this standard, this light, this precious gift, the very word of the living God, which is given to us. May we obey it. May we heed it. May we read it. May we apply it. May we share it with others. For this world is lost and groping in darkness and dying without a Savior. And Lord, we know him. We have the truth. We have the message. And may we be found faithful to share your word with others. Bless now our time in the word, this time as we worship you together through the word and in prayer, in song, in fellowship. And may your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. By faith, Noah built an ark. What are we building this morning? What are we building? Are we building? I ask each one of you, young and old, ladies and gentlemen, are we building? Because if we're not building, we must be tearing down, because we're not neutral. We're not living in a vacuum. Something's going on. Either God is having his way, or Satan and the flesh are having their way, if I may say such. Are we building? Shouldn't we be building? Noah prepared an ark. Keep your place in Hebrews. We'll be turning back to Hebrews 11, or you can thumb back and forth. But I'd like to turn over to Genesis chapter 6, where we read about Noah. Genesis chapter 6. And keep in mind the passage in Hebrews, by faith Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And now we see the situation. We go back to Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, and we see the condition of the world in which Noah lived. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Verse 3, I'm not going to read it all. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. Okay, man is wicked. I'm not going to put up with him, but I'm going to give him 120 years. That's where we get the idea that Noah preached, for he was a preacher of righteousness, we read, probably for the 120 years. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We say, boy, we live in a wicked world. You know what? Noah lived in a wicked world. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me. Some translate it's regretful that I've made them. Verse 8, But Noah, out of all the wickedness, all the horrendous things going on, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, do they not? To show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. And so God's eyes were fastened on Noah. Are they fastened on you, my friend? Does God see righteousness in your life? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Wow. You see, there was one whose heart was perfect toward God, and Noah found grace. Noah found grace, for his heart was perfect, and Noah's heart was perfect, for he found grace, right? Maybe that's the way it ought to be said. Then notice verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I will destroy them. So, make thee an ark of gopher wood. And he gives him detailed instructions of how to make the ark. And then verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Chapter 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou. Isn't that always so beautiful to think about? God said, come. He didn't say, go into the ark. God invited him to come and join God on the ark. Thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Come thou. Come. God's invitation is always come. That's our message for those who are lost. Jesus invites you to come to him. He draws you. He wills that you come, but you must take that step and come. I will to come. Now, I will not come except I'm called. God's call beckons me to come, but I've got to respond to that. And so many refuse. Noah prepared an ark, a boat, a place of safety, a refuge, a shelter. Right smack dab in the middle of some of the greatest wickedness that the world has ever known lived Noah and his family. And you know what? Right smack dab in the middle of that wicked perversion, Noah and his family were safe. They were safe. And you and I and our families are safe in the midst of wickedness if we're in the Lord. Now, outside of Christ is no safety. Is no safety. We're like we're being bounced around on the wild, heaving sea. But in Christ, there's a calm. Always, in the midst of the storm, there is a calm. Even in the midst of God's judgment, they were safe and secure because, by faith, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And he did it by faith. He did it by faith. And so you and I can do what's right by faith. Always, 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 always. And whenever we struggle and we can't and we worry and we fear and we sin, just check your life and you'll find faith has left the house temporarily. If you're a Christian, it'll never leave permanently, but it's not working as it should, right? Okay? Faith. In the midst of God's judgment, they were safe. He did it by faith. There was no rain. There was no rain as of yet. In fact, most scholars believe that rain would have been unheard of at that time in the history of man. And yet Noah built a boat. Nobody had ever built a boat before. It'd be like God telling you, I want you to build a shelter underground with cement walls that are 36 to 48 inches thick, because in a matter of weeks I'm going to melt the moon and the moon is going to drip hot molten cheese on the earth, and you will perish if you don't build an underground shelter and live in that. Wouldn't you do it? You say, well, sure, if God told me to. Well, I might wonder about that. You sure, Lord? But it's kind of like, I don't know, that's a poor illustration maybe, but, you know, and that took a lot of faith for Noah. Noah, by faith, prepared an ark in spite of contrary public opinion about a flood. People didn't go along with that. Or more would have gone on mourn, right? But they thought Noah was crazy. He prepared a boat. His work, his preparation, resulted in his household, his sons and daughters-in-law and wife being safe and spared of God's judgment. And his family was safe because this man, this husband, this father believed God and acted upon his belief in God. And that's for you and me. Men, faithful men, believe God and act upon it. Ladies, faithful women, believe God and act upon it. It's more than a head knowledge. We work it out in the flesh. We apply it to every day. We go through days wringing our hands, worrying, oh, I don't know about this. Oh, you just don't know what's going to happen to me. What happened? No faith. You're not trusting God. How do I know? Because I do it. And when I get my believer working again, it goes away. Those fears and worries go away. They should have never been there in the first place. But I'm like you. Okay? Faith. His family was safe because he believed God and acted upon it. Our homes are being lost, are being destroyed. Our children are being lost to Satan and the world because fathers and mothers are not preparing arks to the saving of their house. If you go, oh, they'll be all right. You know, don't talk too much about religion to me. I'm just not the religious type of guy or gal, right? Maybe God's looking for men. Maybe God's looking for a man, a husband, a father to use in his kingdom, you think? God's word says he is. God uses men. God especially uses men. Now, there are exceptions, and women are used mightily as well, but God uses men to lead the home, okay? To lead the home. God uses men to lead the church. God needs men in Wheatland Baptist Church to get their hearts right with God and serve Him. This church needs you. Needs you to be active, involved, participating, teaching, serving, ministering, having Bible studies, discipling people. We have discipleship books in the rack over here. Milk and meat and bread. Take one of those, read it, and then find someone to disciple with it. It's not hard. It's the ABCs of the Christian faith. If you've been saved for any length of time, you're familiar with them. You can do that. God wants men to lead the home, lead the church. He didn't speak to Noah's sons. He didn't speak to Noah's wife. He spoke to Noah. If Noah had not been the godly man that he was, I believe his family would have been destroyed with the rest of the world. But God didn't destroy his family because of Noah. He was a man of faith, a man of obedience, a man who walked with God and who knew and loved God, and yet he was a man like Elijah. He was a man of like passions as we are. He battled sin just like we do. Remember, Noah got drunk one night, committed sin later on. Okay, tragedy. He was a man, and yet God recognized him as a man of faith, as he will you and me. And so, Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Man, if we want God's blessing upon our homes and upon our children, yea, upon our grandchildren, then we better be preparing an ark to the saving of our house. Now, there are some essentials in Noah saving his family, and they are essentials for you and me as well. So, essentials for building an ark. Can we call it that? Essentials for building an ark for our house. Or essentials for every one of us building up ourselves in our most holy faith. In the most holy faith. Jude verse 20. We're to be building ourselves up in the most holy faith. So essentials for building an ark, building ourselves up. Okay? Number one, faith. What's the first essential? Faith. I've already said that. But I'm going to say it again. Faith, 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 faith. It begins with faith. It begins with the faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior from sin. Are you saved? I mean, are you really saved? Are you truly saved? Are you born again? Did you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Say, well, I prayed a prayer. That's not how you get saved. It's believing in Jesus Christ. It's repenting of sin and calling upon the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. Are you saved, right? And that takes faith. By faith, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Hebrews 11:7. He simply believed that God is God, that he would do what he said he would do. That's for you and me. I can do that. That's all Noah did. He just took God in his word. When I read the Bible, I'm just to believe it. I'm to take God in his word. Okay, God says this and this and this. Okay, I need to put my name in here. Say, okay, God says this, this, and this to Terry Post. Okay, Terry Post, act upon what God just said that you're to do or you're to be. Apply the word to me. That's faith. That's believing, taking God at his word. He believed that God is God, that he would do what he said he would do. Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Wow. God revealed, Noah received God's grace and mercy because of his faith. And you can receive God's grace and mercy simply by believing. He believed and he received grace. By grace are you saved through faith. By faith we're saved, and by faith we're to live. How's the living going? Faith is the foundation of everything else we do. It's the bedrock. It's the concrete of our relationship to God. All else is determined by our faith. Prayer. How's the prayer life? Prayer is determined by faith. There's no prayer, there's no faith. No faith. Say, well, I struggle with prayer. No, you struggle with faith. Prayer is determined by our faith. Church attendance is determined by our faith. Do I have the faith to believe God's word on how vitally important being involved in a local Bible-believing church is? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I believe that by faith, and I act upon it. I act upon it. And I'm faithful. Church and obedience is determined by our faith. Holiness is determined by our faith. Victory over sin is determined by my faith. I take God seriously when he warns me about the consequences of sin, or the punishment, the judgment, or the chastisement for sin. That's determined by faith. My freedom from anxiety is determined by my faith. Serving others is determined by faith. Loving one another is determined by my believing. Some years ago, quite a few years ago, I preached the funeral of a 17-year-old high school junior back in Franklin, Nebraska. As far as I know, this boy was not saved. I never heard any indication that he had any interest in things of God. And when I went and first visited the boy's dad and mom out in the country, kind of west of Bloomington, Nebraska. In fact, this family lived about 5 miles from where I grew up in Napanee, Nebraska. When I first visited with the boy's dad and mom, the very first thing, the very first thing that the dad said to me was this: "We want you to know that we are not a religious family. And I've been to funerals where the minister thinks that he can preach long and hard because he has a captive audience." That's me. I got a captive audience in a funeral, right? They got to stay there and listen. And so we give them the gospel. In other words, this man said, I'm not a religious man, and I don't want you to talk too much or preach too long about God because I don't believe in God. I never had anybody tell me that before or since, anything like that. You see, this dad had no faith in God. He had no faith in Jesus Christ. And this man's son, far as I know, had no faith in Jesus Christ. What an opportunity, though, to preach the gospel. The whole high school of Franklin, Nebraska was there at the funeral, and they heard the gospel. Do you think maybe there was a connection between the son's lack of faith or the dad's lack of faith and the son's? Do you think that possibly the son's faith or lack of it was largely affected by the dad's? Yeah, you can probably say that. Now, the son was responsible, accountable for his own sin. Okay, when my children, my sons, my daughters grow up and live on their own, they're accountable to God. Okay, but we have an influence on them. See, because dad has no faith, the son had no faith. And that 17-year-old son may be in hell today because of that. Now, the son's responsible. Every man will die for his own sin, okay? Let me make that clear. But your faith or lack of it will affect your son or daughter or your wife or your relative or grandchildren or friend for time and possibly eternity. Your faith affects your life and the life and the actions of your children. Really does. Really does. I look back and I think, oh man, well, look where I failed here and here and here and here. I could have spent so much more time and done so much and talked so much more about the Lord and shown a greater love for the Lord instead of going through the motions, instead of just doing devotions, really worshiping the Lord as a family. And God knows. Our faith affects our children. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. He believed God. He believed in things not seen, things spiritual, things eternal, like Abraham, who looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, unlike Lot, who saw the well-watered plains of Jordan and went and pitched his tent in Sodom and Gomorrah. We fail as fathers, we fail as men, because we tend to look only at the material. And it's so tempting to do that. I love the material. I love fun things. I love to do fun things in this life. But boy, they can sure mess up my spiritual walk sometimes when they take away all my attention. We get caught up in things that might be good in and of themselves, but when they take away from my focus on God, then they become sin. We have fallen for the lie that if we provide food and shelter and clothing and a comfortable living for our family, we've done our part. We've brought home the bacon, you know. Well, I believe that the husband should bring home the bacon as best he can, but needs to be more than that too. we must also bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Some of the most miserable people in this world today are teenagers who have everything but are lost. And a lot of our young people have everything and they don't know it. They don't know what they have. They don't appreciate what they have. I was that way. I had everything and I didn't appreciate it. I didn't appreciate what my mom and dad gave me. And I was such a rebel sinner young person. I don't know how my parents, I don't know how they survived me. I look back, I think, man, they were patient. They were sure patient. We had our arguments and all of that, but, wow. Anyway, our young people, they've got cars, clothes, education, iPhones, iPads, video games, but the place in their heart where God is to dwell by faith is empty in the lives of so many, many. It's void. A great vacuum is there. A great feeling of depression and loneliness is there. And they try to fill it by turning to drugs and sex. And many in desperation turn to suicide. And the suicide rate among young people is just skyrocketing. Some of it due to the internet. Some of it due to social media and the bullying and stuff that goes on there. Some of it due to the social media being a substitute for true friendships. And we need to be careful and train our children and take the phones away and the games away and have them grow up as children should. Many of these problems may be traced back to the fact that dad didn't have enough faith to provide the love of Christ in his home. That's the root of many of the problems. Dad and mom. I'll include mom too, not having the faith to provide the love of Christ in the home. Men, if we're going to be successful in building an ark, a haven, a place of safety and security for the saving of our house, then we've got to exercise faith. We've just got to take God and his word. Believe his word that talks about men leading, loving their wives, loving their children, training their children, nurturing their children. Number two, another essential for preparing a safe haven, an ark for the saving of our house, is that we must move with fear. Again, Hebrews 11:7. We need to move with fear, a reverential awe of God. So many are moving, doing, working, but they're not moving for God. They're just moving for themselves. So much of what we do is for selfish ambition and for material gain. Little of what we do is for God's glory. And so we, by our actions, show our children what's important to us. Our kids know what's important to us. We think we're fooling them because we take them to church. And that's good. But it begins on Monday morning or Monday evening or through the day or whenever we're with them. When we lie down and rise up, when we walk here and there, teaching God's truth. Why did Noah move with fear? Because his movements were controlled and guided by his faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear. Because he believed God's warning about the flood coming, he moved. He got into action. He built the ark and he told his family, "You're getting in," and they followed. Because they saw Noah's faith. There was something that would happen that hadn't yet happened, something that God warned Noah about. He says, "I will destroy man whom I've made off the face of the earth," back in Genesis 6:7. "I will destroy them with the earth, so make an ark," in that passage. And Noah believed. He just believed. He did not doubt it. We never read that Noah hesitated, that he doubted. And he knew that if he didn't move with fear and respect for God's word, that he and his family would perish with the world, and so will we, if we don't move with fear. And that's missing today. The fear of God. We need a holy fear of God. We need to be afraid of God's judgment, and we should teach our children to be afraid of God's judgment. When we teach our children about God and we want them to come to know Christ as Savior, from when they were young, they need to be taught about hell. That there is a hell, there is a judgment, there is an accounting to come. You say, well, I don't want to scare them into being saved. Why not? Many of you came to know Christ because you didn't want to go to hell. And I know of kids who've gotten saved because of that. Why do you want to get saved? Because I don't want to go to hell. Hey, you're on the right track. That's good. That's good. That's missing, though, the fear of God. We think we can disobey God, neglect His Word, neglect the teaching of the Word to our kids, and that we'll be none the worse for it. God understands how weak I am. God understands I wasn't brought up as a Christian. God understands my dad was a drunk, as mine was. Yeah. And I've tried that. Well, God knows I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, and I wasn't. I don't know if we even had a Bible in the house. I sure never saw one opened up. Never looked at one. Never took one to church. Never went to a church where they preached out of the Bible. We sow to the flesh, and we allow the flesh reap corruption. Number three, a third final essential in making our home an ark is preparation. Preparation. So number one, faith, he believed. Number two, he moved. And number three, he prepared. He believed, he moved with fear, and he prepared. Noah prepared an ark, Hebrews 11:7. And that ark didn't just happen. Noah spent years preparing. God could have just made that ark. He could have dropped it out of the sky. He could have easily provided it for Noah and his family to escape the judgment and wrath of God. Or God could have raised up a mountain to serve as an island for Noah and his family to live on. He didn't do that. He said, Noah, you build. You start building. Wow. And what an ark. What a build. What a project. That's not God's usual method. God gave the instruction, the plans, the blueprint, and Noah prepared it. Verse 14, Genesis 6, 14 to 16, he said, "Get gopher wood, make rooms, pitch, gave him the length, the breadth, the height, said, I need a window, a door, these three floors, and then come. Every living thing is to come into the ark, and going to be a flood." Now, it probably took years for Noah. Maybe it took the whole 120 years. We're not told that. It took time to draw out the plan, to cut the trees, to plane the wood, to fit, to brace it together, to seal with pitch, and on, and to do all this without the help of other contractors in the area, without the help of the world. Probably do it in the midst of laughter and mockery and ridicule. We're not told that, but no doubt they were ridiculed. You know, preparing a family for heaven isn't easy. God never said it'd be easy. I know it's not easy. Men, dads, it's not easy. It's hard work. And we need God's help. We really do. And God knows that. God looks on you and he remembers you're but dust. And then he gives you grace. Gives you more grace. And more grace. You gotta just take that step. Just put one foot in front of the other. And you look back and children are following you. But each step goes towards God, right? It doesn't happen automatically. It takes years of preparing, planning, forethought. We need a plan. We need a plan. Number one, we need a plan, a method, or it won't get done, as with Noah's Ark. So plan to have a time with your children, your young people, reading the Bible, devotions. Or even those of us that don't have children, I've still got to have a plan in my home that I might build myself up in the most holy faith. I've got to have a plan. It just isn't going to willy-nilly happen, right? So plan a time to have devotions. Get organized. Plan what you're going to read, a verse to memorize, a song to sing, a hymn to learn, things like that. Make it your family time. But have family worship. And call it family worship. Okay, family, we're going to have family worship. And you say, well, I'm just not good at planning. Okay, well, get your wife to plan the details. But you're the one that instigates it. You're the one that leads it. Number two, we need materials to build with. Need a plan, then need materials. Need a Bible. Get a devotional guide. Get a good devotional. Use Keys for Kids. or the other devotionals we have. Many, many good helps out there. Get a Bible, read the Bible, read a few verses each day or 10 verses a day and take turns reading. You can do that. It's not hard. It's just developing a habit. But we need the materials of love and patience, consistently kindness. And by the way, be kind, be gentle to your children. Yes, we know there's a time for firmness, but there's got to be a lot more emphasis on gentleness, love, grace, kindness to our kids. And our kids will respond to that. You can't just yell at your kids all the time. We can't do it. And number three, you need to do it. So you need a plan, need materials, and need to do it. Verse 22, Genesis 6:22. Thus did Noah. That's our biggest obstacle. We just don't do it. Anyway, Noah had quite a responsibility, didn't he? He was the only one who can save his family. Nobody else can do it for him. Nobody else can spare his family of judgment to come. And so you have a big responsibility. And there's none more important in the world than preparing an ark for your wife and children, leading them to safety and security, and to enjoy the blessing of God's kingdom. What a privilege and honor you and I have, as well as responsibility. The blessing that comes from that. And nobody else can do it for you. Nobody. You're the one, and God is counting on you. He gave you the plan, you the instructions, you the command, and you can do it. You can do it. Be strong and of a good courage, Joshua said to the people as they were ready to cross the Jordan and go into the land of Canaan and face Jericho. You can do it. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. So it is with you. Be strong. Oh, I'm just not doing it. I messed up. Fine, you messed up. God forgives you. You take it to him and begin again. We can do it. And I've got to do it. And if I'm not doing it, I need to get started now. Because judgment is coming. An accountability is coming. The world is passing away. Now is the time. The ark is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. Noah and his family must enter into the door of the ark before they'll be saved. You and I need to come to Christ to be saved. God said, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. God's judgment is coming. Am I ready? Am I ready to meet the Lord and meet him as my Savior, my friend? And if our family is not in the ark, well, I need to get with God, don't I? May God help us to be the dads, to be like Noah and follow his wonderful example here. Let's pray. Our Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful lesson and picture of a man of God who responded to God and believed God and acted upon it, Lord. And yet he was a man like we are. Lord, thank you so much. We can learn the lessons that we need to learn from him. May we apply these things to our lives. Help our men, Lord. Bless each one of our men and their families. Whether we be young or old, may we just be the men we ought to be and be the leaders we ought to be in our homes, in our church, wherever we are, and to show Christ, to be a light, and to be salt in the midst of this world of corruption. God, you know we need lights today. And we curse the darkness when we need to shine the light in the midst of the darkness. Bless now, as we close, we give this time to you now, praying your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to number 335.